Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here today to this session of the Roundtable, which is our second to the last for 2012. Okay, I want to remind you that we have one more session coming up next week, and that one is going to be with State Senator John DeFrancisco. And then we take a semester break, and we come back the first week in February, and we will be talking to Senator Dave Valesky. And then, of course, you'll have a full schedule for the rest of the year through the first week in May. We do it another 13 weeks. So that's our schedule. The Institute for Retired People will go on another week, December 20th, and we'll tell you more about that next week. So if you have another week you'd like to join us. So that's that story. This morning, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker, David Aiken of Destiny USA. David and I actually met several years ago. I don't want to say many. That sounds like too long ago. Several years ago, we were in a class together at SU, a graduate class in legal issues in higher education. David at the time was working for the city. I was a former city employee. We had some common interests, so we wound up working on a project together. I think the topic of our paper had to do with property tax exemptions, actually. So that was kind of interesting. we did a case study on the Carrier Dome, talked to former Mayor Alex. That was great fun. But anyway, since then, David has moved on. He's worked as an executive at Destiny for the past 10 years or so. Before joining Destiny, David headed the Syracuse Lakefront Development Corporation. He was deputy commissioner at the Department of Aviation for the city from 96 to 99 when we did our last renovation project. And as I said before that, he was working at the city in the mayor's office at City Hall. At Destiny, David's key areas of focus have included project development, government and public relations, coordination of marketplace strategy. And that's helped to position Destiny as the sixth largest shopping center in the U.S. and the largest LEED Gold certified commercial property in the nation. In spite of my history with David, it took us a while to get him here. It was actually one of our IRP members. I know I always recommend IRP to you. So David is actually going to be doing a talk this afternoon with IRP. I think this is sort of his warm-up because he knows his friend Phyllis is going to be at IRP and that those folks can sometimes ask some challenging questions. So this will be good practice for you, David. Thank you.
For those who were wondering, several or many, I think, means 16 years. And in that time, I think I've had three different careers, four different children, and an awful, awful lot of fun in this great community. It is a pleasure to be here this morning, particularly in 2012, to speak to you and share some information about what's new at Destiny. And also, just as important to me, is to answer some of the questions that you have. As I said, this has been a very exciting year for us. Everyone who's worked on the project, our contractors, the owners, our customers, it has been truly spectacular, especially after coming through the very difficult period of time of what I would call the recessionary period. And we certainly appreciate those who have helped all along the way. So if this were an annual report, here's what I would share to you. In 2012, we opened the new space. We've welcomed over 50 new businesses this year. The overwhelming majority, and this is important to us, the overwhelming majority are unique to Central New York, and many indeed are unique to New York State. We've held four different job fairs, and those job fairs have been incredibly well attended. I think speaks to the need for employment and additional employment or new employment for those who were underemployed. Thousands of people who came to those, And we were able so far this year to match 900 people with available positions in the facility. So today, there are about 4,300 people who work in the complex. We've increased our visitation this year, and I'll share a little bit more about how we go about visitation shortly. We've increased our visitation by 15% this year. We've targeted Canada to bring new visitors into our community, and that's been a great collaboration actually with several people who were in this room this morning. And I think as Sandra indicated, we have received this year the LEED Gold certification for the space. And according to Central New York native and current head of the U.S. Green Building Council, we may have undersold the billing because he's communicated to us that what we have there is the largest gold certified building on this great earth. On August 2nd, we rebranded the facility from Carousel Center to Destiny USA. And I will be clear, because I am sure this is one of the questions. We're making sure that the historic carousel will continue in its current place. If we were to move it, I'd be run out of town by my four kids. And very deliberately, in a many, many different ways, we've tried to communicate with the community through tours, regular updates, people who are signing up on our email list, people who are following us on our social media sites, working to provide as much transparency as we can about where we are, how we're doing, and what's happening. So I did bring a few visuals today. This one is actually from Black Friday, and I think it demonstrates well that everything is headed in the right direction. It was the most successful holiday kickoff event since the facility opened in 1990. And I think the caption for this photo, if you were to see it in a publication, might read, "Got sales tax." We have about 9,000 parking spaces, and we were very much pushed to capacity. And this next one, I don't know the identity of this individual, but this picture is a very tired shopper. This is probably about 4:30 in the morning. We're protecting their identity. I'm intrigued that he's sleeping across the bench and he's left room for the 8 or 10 bags that are on there. I think he obviously crossed a number of items off of his holiday shopping list, far more ahead than I am this year. I want to talk a little bit about what's changed in our industry. As was mentioned, I worked in the public sector for about 10 years. Never envisioned working in the private sector, to be very candid with you. So I've had a lot to learn in this industry. But consumers have changed some of their habits since Carousel Center opened in 1990 as a first-class, super-regional shopping center. Consumers, as everyone knows, now purchase more products on the internet. They pay more attention to pricing and value. And in addition to that, they look for meaningful experiences. And somewhat of a trend with the company is being able to identify what's next. We've spent countless hours trying to create a first-class destination focused on customer experience. Destiny USA, we like to say, has something for everyone. A place to look for great fashion at a variety of price points, an assortment of first-class dining options in a truly dynamic setting, and a growing list of entertainment venues for all ages and interests located on the third floor of the complex. And so, as I said, the historic part of the facility was very successful in terms of having traditional anchors and mall shops. The piece that we're very excited about adding is all of the new outlets. Some people call it value price shopping, putting it under the same roof, driving some competition. And in addition to that, we think a key differentiator, and I'll hit on a couple of these in a moment, is all of the entertainment venues that are within the complex. And then probably one of the criticisms that we've heard over the years, I think we've responded well to, is that the food offerings within Destiny USA, there was not a wide array, and I think those that have opened have done incredibly well. Soon, we will have over 250 brands under one roof. All of the uses, as I said, are complementing and adding to the original 1.5 million square foot facility. There are 130 million people who live within a day's drive of Syracuse and Central New York. And to that end, we want to play a key role in the region's tourism agenda, which is one important prong of the economic agenda for this community. We are proud that in Syracuse, New York, we were able to, which is the 81st metropolitan statistical area in the country, we've created, as Sandra indicated, the sixth largest complex of its kind in the country. That others have projected we will attract well in excess of 25 million people a year. I think these statistics demonstrate well that our marketplace, and it's not just for Destiny, it's for Center State CEO, it's for the Convention Visitors Bureau, it's for the airport and others, that our marketplace is much broader than the city, the county, and even the MSA, as I mentioned. This project has been about tourism for quite some time, which imports new money into Onondaga County and the city of Syracuse, stimulating job growth, and as I learned at the airport and working with those in the tourism industry, tourism puts heads on beds, which is a code phrase for increasing occupancy at area hotels. It generates sales tax and room occupancy tax and drive traffic to the many of the area's assets. And there, I know individuals in this room from the zoo, the Everson, the Landmark Theater, the Most, the Onondaga Historical Association, our colleges, universities, and others. Just briefly about how we do it. It was mentioned that I've been at Pyramid for a little more than 10 years. The questions that I get then are very similar today. The first one is, do you really have to go to those meetings every morning at 5:55? And I'd say, my answer then is the same as it is now. We got a little soft. We actually start at 6 o'clock, and we do most weeks work at meet 6 days a week. And then the second question is, what's your job title? And I know Sandra highlighted some areas of responsibility. We're all members of the team. That team is led by Bob Congell and his 40-year business partner, Bruce Keenan, who've been lifelong residents of Central New York. And I'll be clear this morning. Our plans, our vision as to what was possible, they were grand. We dreamt very publicly, and we swung for the fences. Unfortunately, we weren't able to meet all of those goals. That being said, our commitment to high expectations for this project and the city where it resides have been steadfast. And although the economic realities of the recession that I mentioned have affected the scale, the initial goals of the development remain true today. Help reclaim our community's waterfront, which is, to me, wonderful assets of the lake, the canal, and Onondaga Creek. Drive as much investment as possible into the project and assemble as many unique brands under one roof so that we help to serve as a magnet to attract visitors to the area. Our core business is about attracting and retaining tenants. That's our lifeline. Our leasing team, if they're in the office, that's not a good thing. And they travel far and wide to identify new and unique concepts that we can lure here to Central New York. And so when a member of our team goes to New York City, Orlando, Dallas, San Francisco, or somewhere in between, or even beyond with trips this year to Europe, the Middle East, and the Far East, we send them to a specific meeting that they're going there for, and then one of the great things they do is they canvass that marketplace to find something new that's drawing people, that's successful, so that we can lure them back here to Syracuse and Central New York. And this team has done a wonderful job for us, goes through this exercise daily. The more rare the concept, the more excited we get. And our canvassing has yielded in the new space, if you've been to it, some very exciting brands. On a trip to Dallas to meet with principals of Gordon Biersch, which is a new restaurant that's opening Monday in the Canyon, we found a use for the entertainment district on our third floor. Electric go-kart racing, 45 miles an hour. We identified several owners of similar concepts and eventually signed a deal with Pole Position Raceway. It's their eighth location in the country, and it's the second on the East Coast. If you haven't seen this picture, it's Bob and Bruce. They're finishing a race, allegedly, up on the third floor, but this is a snapshot from a YouTube video, which if you haven't had the opportunity to see, 233,000 people have viewed this. The uniqueness of it is it starts out on the roadway network, comes into the facility, professional drivers race through the mall on all three levels, and then Bob and Bruce race the last lap around the track. And if you were wondering, yes, Bob did win. It was close. Canvassing in Orlando yielded a wonderful brand called WonderWorks. WonderWorks is a destination in and of itself. It's the brainchild of a former Disney executive. We opened WonderWorks on November 9th to thousands of people over this past month and rave reviews. This is their fifth location in the country, normally found in tourism destinations, Orlando, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, Myrtle Beach, to name a few. It's their first location in the Northeast. It's their first location where they're not a standalone facility. If you've been to any of these places, you may recognize their signature upside down house. Again, another use up on the third floor. It's an experiment that went horribly wrong, obviously. The contractors who built it had some challenges, let's say, trying to build everything upside down. And if you haven't had the chance, it'd be great to go there. The team at WonderWorks calls this an amusement park for the mind. 100 different interactive exhibits. Plus, on top of that, it's the country's largest indoor suspended ropes course. So if you've read some of the articles about the project and you've heard reference to the canyon, the ropes course pictured here on the bottom right is in the canyon. And this is a picture here of Aaron Scala of Baldwinsville. You may have read it in the paper earlier in the week. Some very great coverage. Legally blind, conquered this course better than anyone. So if I get any tough questions today, my response is going to be a personal invitation to join me on the ropes course later this evening. In June of this year, we were able to open one of five Saks Off Fifth Avenues in the country. It's the off-price version, the outlet version, if you will. As I said, they opened five this year, and we were able to capture one of them. This one was a direct result of Bob Congell's new relationship with the chairman of Saks Off Fifth, who had a connection to upstate through one of the region's great educational institutions. And we often find that as we interact with people, those who have gone to college in upstate New York get that it is a very large trade area. Long-term reputation, performance, and those personal relationships have made leasing the facility achievable. And the strength of the brands who have opened have helped our leasing efforts tremendously. At present, we have nearly 80% of the new space committed with solid leads on the balance. We certainly have more work ahead of us, but over the past year, we've had tremendous momentum, and they've certainly been better than the past 4 or 5 years. This week alone, we had more than a dozen team members down in New York at the ICSC, the International Council of Shopping Center Conference, down there working to attract new businesses to the region. We view our job as to sell Destiny, to sell Syracuse, to sell Onondaga County, each and every day, both to potential tenants and also to customers. And I think as an example of that, yesterday we had three prospects in town looking at space within the complex. You may have noticed some of the marketing material this year has been operating under the moniker, "See What's Been Building." The announcements and the openings are happening on a regular basis. This week alone, we will announce deals with three new brands. One is a traditional retailer, one is an outlet, and you may have seen yesterday, we announced an entertainment venue, Five Wits, and we'll open three new brands within the facility. The tenants, as I indicated, have responded very, very well. Here's some direct feedback from them. The store at Destiny is off the charts. It's in the top five for us. That was from one of our off-price brands. And one of the restaurants, hopefully you've had the experience to be there, who opened over the summer, had the best opening performance, and I actually have to chuckle when I read this, of any of its locations worldwide, including downtown Chicago, London, and Dubai. And they would tell you, probably privately, they've even run out of food on a few occasions. And as great as the success has been over the past year and the prior period's challenges, talk a minute about it not always being easy. And as rewarding as it is to see new employee, see the number of pictures that people are taking within the facility, people walking across the new pedestrian bridge, the road getting here, I think as everyone in this room knows, hasn't always been easy. When I was growing up, I distinctly remember, as a teenager, my parents giving me a t-shirt. And it read, "Life is a journey, not a guided tour." That certainly holds true for the investment that Pyramid has made, $1.2 billion over a 25-year period within downtown Syracuse and the Syracuse Lakefront area. I've learned that no big vision gets done without overcoming challenges, adversity, and sometimes some public debate. No one would have predicted the worst economic downturn to hit the country shortly after we closed on $540 million of financing in February of 2007. Thankfully, we stuck together. We received very strong support from our elected officials and the business community, and we weathered the financial storm by reaching a resolution that allowed us to first pay the hardworking men and women who were owed money, who had worked on the project, and then second, to continue moving the project forward. Our contractors were among the greatest advocates, and we're forever grateful for their great work. Since we launched the project construction moving again back in April of 2011, we've averaged over 250 construction personnel each day working on the project, either for us or any one of the brands who are working in the facility. In addition to the LEED rating for the overall complex, these contractors are helping each of the new tenants into the facility become LEED certified as well. We believe this is a differentiator and that it supports both the mayor's and the county executive's commitment to a more sustainable community. At times, the public-private partnership the project has been based on since 1987 has been tested. But then again, any relationship that spans 25 years is due to have its ups and downs. As I think about 2.5 decades of continuous investment, not being born and raised here, you have the elimination of Marley's Scrapyard, the gateway to our city, the renewed focus on Onondaga Lake, and with the other issues that we've had to challenge, I'm thankful that the majority of this is in the rearview mirror, and excited that the development that the company has advanced in Clinton Exchange, which is the headquarters for the portfolio, 17 facilities across New York and Massachusetts. That's where we operate out of every day. And then the great work that was done in Franklin Square, this is a shot of Bridgewater Place, And that's how that building sits today. We would like to build more. We need to be sure that the environment and the opportunity is right to do so. We're focused on building credibility each and every day for what we're doing and focused on maximizing the 2.4 million square foot complex and bringing more and more tourists to the region. May be surprising to some, but shopping is the number one tourism activity in North America. Research done by public bodies over the past 12 years have evidenced that Destiny is the number one tourism destination in Onondaga County. Most recently, Center State and the CVB hired a national consultant to take a look at the market, a gentleman by the name of Ed McWilliams. He studied the market extensively, and he wrote, "Destiny USA is the single largest attraction in Onondaga County and the largest opportunity for growth." That was before we launched a very aggressive marketing campaign in Canada, Pennsylvania, and all areas in between. In these markets, that's what you see there, those bubbles, we have a mixture of billboards, online advertising, television, radio, and print. We've also been very successful in attracting travel writers, bloggers, and positive news coverage from Ottawa, Rochester, Utica, Albany, and other markets as well. You can see a very determined focus to cast a wide net to have people experience all of the great assets of Destiny and the region. In terms of our customer markets, we're working to bring people to stay at the hotels, to experience the rich cultural and recreational assets we offer, and doing so through a collaboration. We work through about five different market segments to tell you about how we work to attract customers. First one I'll comment on is group tours. This is clearly an untapped market for us, appealing to tour groups and bus tour operators who organize sightseeing tours, power shopping visits, many of whom right now bypass Onondaga County, even though we are the center of the state. We've installed new signage. We have and will go to national conferences to bring those group tours here, and we will roll out the red carpet to the drivers who oftentimes make the decisions as to where the bus will stop. On Black Friday alone, we welcomed 11 group tour buses, all from outside of the marketplace. And on Veterans Day weekend, 7 buses stopped at Destiny USA. I'd like to speak for a couple of minutes about Canada. And the reason I'd like to speak about Canada is it's an incredibly rich market. If Billy Fusillo were here this morning, he would say it's huge. Historically, we've seen our numbers grow from about 12 to 17%. As a result of our collective efforts, we're now seeing as much as 25% or more of the sales being made to Canada shoppers. We see this, as I mentioned, as an untapped market segment. Briefly on why Canadians shop in America: the selection, the price. There's research that shows that Canadian retail prices are 13% above levels here in the United States. That's before taxes. Sales tax is cheaper. Canadians in the Ontario province pay 13% total sales tax. And when they come here, if they purchase items less than $110, they pay 4%. So that is less. The duty-free limits in Canada, so when you come here and shop in the United States and bring it home, the Canadian government just increased the amount that Canadians can bring back by the United, by Canadian shoppers in the U.S. by a factor of 4. So it used to be $50, it's now $200 if you stay less than 48 hours. If you stay more than 48 hours and stay at some of our great hotels in this marketplace, you can bring home up to $800 without having to claim any of it. Some other facts that get us very excited about Canada. Our website statistics, 1 in 4 visitors to our website is from Canada. We have a special passport of savings, we call it, for those who are AAA members and also those from Canada. Usage this year, since August, is up 80%. And as you'll see in this picture here, there are a couple of individuals who are highlighted who are in the room today. Through the great work of Center State CEO, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, we held an event on October 23rd at the U.S. Ambassador to Canada's house, David Jacobson. The U.S. Ambassador and his staff invited several hundred members of the Canadian media and travel and trade organizations to his home to be briefed about, yes, Destiny USA, but also representatives on that trip included the Everson Museum, Area Hotels, Convention and Visitors Bureau, information about our airport and the park and fly program that we have, the Downtown Committee. So we brought Syracuse on the road. There were over 80 people who were in attendance, and it was an incredible springboard, which has resulted in other coverage and other connections. Great participation from the zoo, and a couple of our brands, Pole Position Raceway and Wonderworks, attended. I think the more of this we do sell Syracuse, the more visitation that we will collectively see. Our third market, very briefly, is students. Over 215,000 individuals are enrolled in higher education in our primary trade area. And understandably, they should rotate every 4, all right, maybe 5 years. In my brother's case, thankfully he's not here today, it was 6. But that's our third market. Our fourth market is about tourists and international markets. And this is a little bigger picture, but located between New York and Toronto, which are among 2 of the top gateways to North America, guests are traveling that corridor right now between the two to get to Niagara Falls. And as I said before, sometimes they're bypassing Syracuse. The wonderful Corning Museum is currently, in Corning, New York, is currently a very large destination or pit stop for them. And we'd like to extend the welcome mat out as well. Based upon work by a company called Tourism Economics, who does work for the I Love New York campaign, they expect if we focus on all of those markets, putting together what we have, utilizing some solid collaborations, our visitation will grow from about 20 million visits to 29 million visits. And as I mentioned earlier, through the first 11 months of the year, we're seeing traffic up about 15%. So we're approaching 23 million visits. That puts us as a community in our project second only to the Mall of America in terms of visitation. While the journey here was not absent public debate or hurdles along the way, I'm sure we'll all agree that eliminating Oil City, Marley's Scrap Yard, was a significant undertaking and visionary. Actually, I should tell you that this wasn't the original site. Hasn't been reported too often, but the original site for Carousel Center was actually to the west of 690 by State Fair Boulevard and Genesee Street. I think we still own some property there today as a company. Franklin Square is a first-class neighborhood. The development of the Creek Walk, now that connects Armory Square to Onondaga Lake, helps create a vibrant community. We have a complex today that employs 4,300 people and on our way to over 5,000 over the next several months. And that employment is important. We have a magnet for tourism in the city on a brownfield. We have sales tax dollars and other economic impacts from tourists, which are an important form of government revenue that comes from my days working for the city. And the local sales tax split between the city and the county from direct on-site spending we will see grow over the next few years from $16 million to over $28 million a year. And something, given my background, that I get excited about, some of Pyramid's work has cleared the way for other investors and the Inner Harbor, which is absolutely terrific. Like everyone here, the entire team who works at Destiny believes in Central New York. We love our community, and if you haven't noticed this morning, passionate about our work. I got up 10 minutes early to make sure I was prepared this morning, 3:35. For those who have experienced Destiny, thank you. For those who have yet to visit, please accept this as a personal invitation. And if you are not, this is a little bit of a commercial, but if you're not following us, we distribute news about what's going on at the facility, great human interest components, sales, openings, and the like, along our social media. And for those in the audience who are wondering, P.F. Chang's opens on Monday, December 17th. Probably the most requested brand that we've heard from our customers. I know that I've hit on some topics, and I know that there are a host of questions. So at this point, I'd be pleased to take any questions. Thank you.
I have two questions. First is, I believe Pyramid still owns Salmon Run Mall.
Yes.
How does the Canadian business at Salmon Run Mall contrast to Destiny in terms of percent of shoppers? The other thing is that in listening to you, one of the things that occurs to me, giving all the data you've collected about people coming in from Canada and other areas trying to bring in bus tours, it seems like since you have all the entertainment and restaurant venues at Destiny, that it would be conducive to build a hotel. And I'm just wondering if that is still under consideration and what the status is.
Both questions are very good. First question was about Salmon Run. It's a facility we own in Watertown. It has experienced wonderful growth. It is a super regional shopping center. It has a different offering than what we have. It has benefited greatly from the growth at Fort Drum. They receive, I wouldn't put a number on it, but less than half of what we receive. It's still an important part of their business, but in some cases, we're actually seeing people stop at both facilities. So it's along the way. I think it's a particular opportunity for growth, not only for us, but for others to tap that market. The second question in terms of a hotel, we work quite hard. We believe in what we do. A hotel is becoming increasingly more and more feedback that we receive from customers and from group tour operators. As I said in my comments, we're keeping very focused on maximizing what we have in the 2.4 million square feet, and we'll take a look at additional development. At the same point in time, we're also celebrating well the new growth of other hotels in the marketplace, because it's critical that we have quality hotel rooms that provide transportation to the area's assets and look at ourselves as a true tourist destination, and we'll take it from there.
My question basically goes to a little follow-up for Carol's. We know there were Destiny plans and there were Destiny plans, and we ended up with what you're saying right now is Destiny. And I can understand you're saying you're going to focus on that, grow that out, and then look to where we go from there. My question really goes to, for all those other plans that were on the table, are they truly on some back burner somewhere saying when the time is right, you're going to go there? Or is it something that said, no, after we've revisited everything, what we got except for maybe a hotel or something, we're going to just stay with what we got?
So we have many plans. Very passionate, as I said, in terms of the work. I commented a little bit of this in my remarks, but I think the economic realities and the ability to access cash. So I talked a little bit about our relationship with brands and tenants being very important. Next is being able to access capital from Wall Street. And some of the plans in this day and age, you would not be able to finance. Not to say that, as you indicated, that they're not on the back burner, because as I drive through the area with Bob and Bruce a couple of times of the week, there's a great desire to do more.
Good morning, Dave. My guess is that your smallest group of shoppers to Destiny come from the Regional Transportation Center. But I do see people every time I'm in that area walking from the Transportation Center to Destiny, and there's no sidewalk for a large part of that. And nobody seems to be responsible. Might you be responsible for a sidewalk?
Sarah, I've been responsible to you for 18 years, so I will... Sarah and I had a wonderful interaction before the meeting. Before we started, she commented that when I park in a parking spot, I don't park directly between the lines. It's a problem that I've had my entire life. Interestingly enough, you'd be pleased to know that not 100% on point this morning, but looking about how we as a community welcome visitors and connect them to our other assets, us just being one of them, we were discussing the Regional Transportation Center, Common Center, and the airport. So I will take your feedback directly.
Yeah, I wanted to just add and expand on that, that as the Onondaga Citizens League was doing its community image study last year, that was one of the areas that we talked about needing a lot of focus, is that whole Park Street area, and that as both for Destiny and the community, not just sidewalks, but something that would spur more development along that kind of a pathway.
Absolutely. Rich assets in the Regional Transportation Center, the regional market, and the stadium.
Just following up on Sarah's point, in retailing, there's a kind of emerging trend of retail centers being less insular and then sort of folding out into their community. As you think about the future phase, are you thinking about those new trends where the centers actually put their tentacles out into the community and make some of those connections to the regional market or the transportation center?
Thank you. I talk about connections in two ways, and I may have learned some of this from Sandra in the class we took. One is about successful communities are able to draw physical connections between the destinations and the assets that they have in their community. And so that physical connections is both physical infrastructure, which I think is important, additive. In some communities, they do it through various forms of what I would call people movers. Those are all conversations that we are very open to. I think the Creek Walk is a good start in that construct. And then the second ways in which communities are very successful, and I actually think we've had more traction on that here, is by collaborating and working together and marketing the destination as a whole. We have a large complex. It will be principally driven by people who take their own automobile. We like to say that we have the ability to welcome people by air, by rail, by bus, by foot, and by boat. I recognize that there are improvements to be made, but I think we're open to the discussion that you suggested in terms of, you know, additional linkages from the asset physically to the surroundings.
Just a broader picture here. The numbers that you get from Destiny and the other locations you have, what do they tell you about the current state of the economy and the direction it may be going?
Interesting. I mentioned that the portfolio is principally located in upstate New York. 13 properties, probably one would be considered downstate, and four in Massachusetts. So in terms of customers and how they've reacted across our properties, generally speaking, they have, we did not experience the same horrific downturns in sales. Very difficult, yes, but it somewhat modeled home values in the marketplace, is they went down, but they didn't bottom out. At the same point in time, we're seeing greater sales increase at Destiny, and we directly attribute that to the new product offering. So in short, as a result of the physical locations where our property was, we didn't see the spikes and the big falls. There's been continued positive growth over the past couple of years. Where it does come into play is access to capital, which I mentioned, which is another engine for us, or fuel for our engine, and then also with brands. And so, you know, those brands, in some years, they didn't have the ability to open, you know, any new locations. So our leasing team would go out and they'd say, you know, I'm sorry, we don't have any openings till 2011 or 2012 or, you know, 2013. So that part of the business certainly affected, but the customers, our great customers, not only here but across the portfolio, we didn't see significant downshifts, going up a little bit.
This is a rather narrower question to you than the others so far. I'm a board member of MOST, the Museum of Science and Technology, and an important source of our income is the IMAX Theater. We are concerned about whether the IMAX Theater proposed, I don't even know if it's there yet, but proposed might pose a challenge to us, a survival challenge to us, and I wonder to what degree you're interested in cooperating with MOST in discussing that matter.
Very interested, and actually have had, I thought I saw Tony here, off to the left, have had several conversations with the staff about the Museum of Science and Technology, spoke with them in advance of the announcement. People are leaving Central New York today to go to markets that have IMAXs that show feature-length current IMAX films, which is, I understand it from all of my interactions, is something that is not offered at the MOST. And so we had a discussion about the distinction between the location at the MOST, the architecture. I apologize, Tony, but the nature of the room setup is completely different and a different experience. And those that are offered at the MOST are educational in nature. IMAX, which is part of Regal, they're growing from 17 to 19 screens. It is not yet built. It will open in the first quarter. It is only going to run feature-length, first-run films. So you'd actually have the ability to see it in the normal way. Potentially, you could watch it as well. It's a brand of Regal. It's called Regal Premium Experience, or IMAX. They have the Regal facility here is among their best in upstate New York. So we've had conversations. Tony, if we'd like to have more, certainly willing to do so. But I think we both felt that there's differences between the two and opportunities to push traffic back and forth. This might be a contrarian view, very briefly, maybe an editorial comment. You know, I think Carousel Center proved that you can create a destination. When you think about Carousel opened, its neighbors were, and these words may be strong, it was an abused lake, an abandoned canal, an elevated highway, and 60-plus oil tanks. So again, for me as someone who lives here, the benefit is to get people here to come to our facility, but also to experience the other facilities like the MOST when they come here.
As we all know, there's been a big increase in the last few years and probably will be continuing down the road in internet sales. And many people, including many of my kids, don't bother to go to the mall. They do all their shopping online. What do you see as a future impact to the mall by that? And just quickly, what's the possibility of getting a Cheesecake Factory?
I'm sorry, I only had time for your first question. So internet sales have continued to grow. And I think that's one of the reasons why in creating Destiny, we're focused on the experience. And I don't think the internet will ever replace, whether it be impulse buying, true destination visitation, or people who are hungry for meaningful experiences. You can order a product online, absolutely, but there is still very much a strong desire for people to have, to touch, to feel, to try it on, and it's more of a social experience. So it will continue to grow, and I think we will continue to differentiate ourselves and truly focus on the components that are unique to the complex that will help drive people in for the bread and butter shopping. So just by a show of hands, how many people would like to see Cheesecake Factory here? I will take that back to our leasing team. That may have been a little too short-sighted on my part in terms of a response, but we are going after the best of class brands in all areas, including the brand that you referenced. We simply don't talk about those in terms of where they stand until we're given the green light from a brand to reference it. But in many, many instances, we've taken customer feedback and have brought it to the brands to prove that there's a market in Syracuse, New York. And so a brand, as I mentioned, they may only have so many to open in the country, and we're saying you should open in Syracuse, New York. And they go to a research report that shows, as I mentioned, oh, that's the 81st largest MSA. We're going to go to the 43rd, the 27th, the 53rd, and then we'll take a look at Syracuse. And what we're saying is, no, we have a very large market. So.
Hi. I heard you talk a lot about your commitment to the region and economic development and just the region as a whole and the betterment of the community, not just through the thousands of employees that you employ there at Destiny, but also through working together on bringing people into the community here from in tourism. And so I was wondering, what organizations have been your biggest partners in allowing that collaboration? Is there any organization that's kind of helping to lead the charge in bringing the downtown community together with the Most and with you and with the Everson and whoever, and how could the Syracuse community do a better job of working with you and making sure that you work together on benefiting the region as a whole?
Thank you. The answer to your question is that Center State CEO and the Convention and Visitors Bureau and a number of community assets, Onondaga Historical Association, the Zoo, the Downtown Committee, and others, we have been collaborating. Several of us took the trip to Ottawa that I mentioned up on the board. There is certainly more that can be done. I know one of the things that the Convention Visitors Bureau is focused on is creating a brand for the region. And I think one of the most successful things that we can do as a community to welcome more and more visitors, I'd have two recommendations. First would be to create that brand and pool as many resources as possible to go after strategic markets, some of which I mentioned, I'm sure there are others, to put out the word that there's great things happening in Syracuse. I touched on many of them, and I know there are more. But advertising, promotions, and marketing outside of Syracuse. That's the first thing. The second thing, I think, speaks to us a little bit as Central New Yorkers, which we have a bit of a mentality that it can't be done here. We're not a tourism destination. And I would challenge us to celebrate our collective successes that are taking place in this marketplace. The Landmark Theater, I was over there for yes discussion the other day on the arts, 30% of the people who came to see Jersey Boys were from Canada. 30%. Phenomenal, phenomenal statistics. So I think if we celebrate those successes, learn from the past, have a unified brand, pool our resources, and go out and say, Syracuse, New York, in the center of the state, is a first-class destination for 1, 2, 3 days. And then you know what? When you're in upstate New York, see some of the other great assets that exist. And I think communities have done that successfully, and I think that those will be key differentiators for this marketplace.
Thank you. David, I have a question about access. You mentioned the 9,000 car parking lot being filled and the pedestrian bridge. So I'm curious about any plans with increasing the usage of the mall or visitors to the mall, to Destiny. Are there any additional plans needed for access, car access, that is? And secondly, related question, as you know, there are studies going on in the community related to the future of Interstate 81 and generally interstate access to the community. And there are some people in the community who think that Interstate 81, uh, not near Destiny, not in the immediate vicinity of Destiny, but south of 81, is a barrier in the city, and maybe something should be done to reroute interstate traffic. Does Destiny USA, do you have a stand on that, an opinion on that, and then again, the access question in general?
Sandra.
David.
This is the way it was 16 years ago. By the way, if I remember correctly, we got an A on that report. Memory is a good thing, especially when it's a long time ago. First question in terms of access, the answer is absolutely yes. Not just us, but conversations about how we make sure that the tourists who are coming to their region know that they've arrived. So the cleanliness of the interstate, the off-ramps, the ease of access to the facility. We've seen tremendous success, and I'll share a secret, with driving people to use the pedestrian bridge, which links on the other side of Hiawatha Boulevard. Fully ADA accessible. Those lots there are great places to park. So if you're gonna shop in these next 19 or 20 days, if you're traveling up Interstate 81, get off at Court Street, make a left, go over to Solar Street right by the harbor, make a right, and you'll come up and park in any one of those lots. That is the greatest place anyone could park. It's a secret. We don't want it to be a secret because it helps with the pinch point, which is right now, as someone mentioned before, currently takes place at Park Street. The second part of your question in terms of Interstate 81, it is indeed an important question and I think great dialogue that's going on in the community. We haven't weighed in on a specific proposal. I think the balance is making sure that people can get here, can have a great experience when they get here, that they can get here easily, and also that we have, and this will come full circle for you, that we also have the ability to link the great assets of our community. So in my opinion, and this comes from some of my past, our waterfront should be part of our downtown, our university should be part of our downtown, and we should draw much larger geographic circle that promotes the area in which we can market. We haven't weighed in with any specifics at this point.
Thank you. We have time for one quick question, Donna.
I haven't heard anything lately, but I'm concerned about what your thoughts on what's going on with the youth in the mall who are causing so many problems for themselves and other shoppers. Can you give us an update on that?
Sure. So we at Destiny have a growing and dedicated security team who works with us. We also work closely with the Syracuse Police Department, who've increased their numbers at the complex as well. And 10 years ago, although it a little unpopular at the time, has proved well, we implemented a policy that unless you were there for the movies, there and you were under 18, you needed to be there with a guardian. That has worked quite well. And for a facility of our size, we have not seen an increase in issues. We've actually seen a decrease over the course of time. And I think it's in part the policy. I think it's in part we have a great security team led by a former member of the Syracuse Police Department. We have members of the Syracuse Police Department who are on property, and we also have guest services people who are involved in that. Certainly something we're always watching, but not a main area of concern for us at this point.
Thank you, David Aiken.
Thank you very much.